Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were introduced to a new sport today we'd never heard of before. It was Spagomi, Japanese sport.
Mm.
And it was the World Cup. So we found out a bit more about that from a couple of the people involved. Team GB doing very well in that. Stan Collymore joined us.
Yeah.
Before we chat about stuck into strikers. The games this weekend. We had a bit of a general chat. Yeah, a bit of a striker chat, really, which we'll bring you. And Martin Kellner gave us a week of sport on TV. He's been checking out a couple of big sports documentaries. So that should do you. We had a bit of a chat as well at the top. Here it all is.
I love this story about British Airways pilots helping with VAR.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see Jared Gillett signalling to Michael Oliver with the semaphore paddles.
That would be good, yeah. I wonder how much... What other things... If you've got any other thoughts on what could happen when BA pilots get involved, there'll be a lot of... I was listening to a podcast recently, and the thing that... When they talk about pilots talk over the PA systems, you get a lot of... apparently, yeah. When pilots speak. Is that something you've ever noticed? Where they're kind of talking quite slowly, you get lots of long ers and long ers. We'll be flying over...
No, I haven't noticed that. We had three British Airways pilots watching the show on Monday. We could have asked them.
I know, that's
true. They never said a word.
If only they'd broken the news. But so it could be a lot of that squeezing in.
Some of these mock-ups in the tabloids are so mad. Flying the flag. How refs chief Howard Webb might look as a BA pilot. And they're giving him what's the point?
He actually looks... I think he looks really good as a BA pilot. I don't know what you thought.
I think he looks like Blakey from On the Buses. he's never actually going to be flying a plane, though. There isn't really any point in mocking him up as a pilot.
Maybe it's a kind of... Some of the VAR officials may have to go and do their job for a while, see how they get on.
Oh, you wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
Not if you're in a plane.
Don't want Darren England flying me anywhere. Not after some of those VAR calls. It wouldn't be great, would it?
Can you imagine...
Yeah, but we're about to crash down. Yeah, can't go back, though, can we? Can't go back. Game's kicked off. Plane's taken off. I can't go back. No, just pull it back a bit, Darren. No, I can't. I'm not allowed to. No, you can, because we're going to hit the ground in a minute.
That was interesting that 79% of people would like VAR to remain, and obviously they'd like the rules to change. We all would. And there is a... I've watched two of the Chelsea Women's Champions League games, and there's no VAR in the... in the Champions League, Women's Champions League. And there have been two clear offside goals and a penalty that was about 6 foot outside the area. And you think, there is a point to it. You know,
yeah, of course there is,
You know,
but it's setting the parameters and making it work, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
It's not quite how we all imagined. We'll talk to Henry Winter about this. What did we imagine? I've heard our own Danny Kelly say he was all for it, but now he wishes he'd never said it.
Well, he thought it would eradicate the mistakes. But mistakes are just part of the game. It's just whether... The trouble is the VAR ones are less excusable because you've got a chance to see it.
You've got a second set of eyes. Yeah, that's true. So anyway, we'll chat to Henry about it. He was writing about it today, the idea that that BA pilots have been doing their bit. And I spoke to one of our team here. He's a referee, and he was telling me something which we'll throw into the mix with Henry as well, even at grassroots level. But yes, 70, as Andy said, the Times poll says 79% of fans want to keep the system. They just want it to work more effectively. Anything else?
Yeah, did you see Daryl Hall, the singer, has obtained a restraining order against his partner, John Oates?
I did say that. Yeah,
it's amazing. They still perform together. I was thinking, you should try and get one against me.
Well, I've been trying for years. I just can't make it stick. It's very difficult.
Yeah. a strange relationship they must have.
Did you see that one of the pilots who did some work with them was called Chris Heaven?
Oh, really?
Chris Heaven, H-E-A...
Not Hall & Oates.
No. Chris Heaven.
Chris Heaven, that's
one of
great
the pilots
name.
Who worked in... I don't think BA pilots are working with VAR. Working with Hall & Oates. That would be a bit weird, wouldn't it? To try and get them back together again. They're being brought in for all sorts of things. But anyway, Chris Heaven. We're interested in any TV formats for Chris, should he decide he doesn't want to be a pilot anymore. Yeah. So see what you can come up with this afternoon. We'll set you to work. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J.
Heaven's Gates. Yes, yeah. Around the country.
Yeah, just looking at different gates. That was right.
Not much of a programme.
Heaven
it?
Can wait. I mean, it's mainly going to be films and songs. Feels Like Heaven. That would be quite a weird show, wouldn't it? So, all right, if you want to just... We need more than that. You need to flesh them out.
Yeah, you're going to have to put the whole programme because we can't sell it to TV.
How many 21-year-old Ians do you know?
Well, I'm an Ian. My middle name's Ian.
But you're not 21, are you?
Not really. Not these days.
I bring it up because it's Ian Matson, your player.
Ian Matson. Yeah,
that's right. 21. How many 21-year-old Ians are there out there? Can't be many.
That's true.
And he's a Dutch Ian, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose he is. Yeah. It's not a modern name, Ian. The youngest Ians I can think of is Ian Morris here, one of our producers.
And he's not 21, with respect.
No, but he's not.
I bring it up apropos of nothing, but it is one of those names. It's odd, though. Somewhere in Holland, there's a couple 21 years ago thought, let's go with Ian.
It's like Nigel's, isn't it?
There's nothing wrong with it. I just run it past you. Anything else?
It's interesting because IFAB, they published a list of all the people who are on the IFAB committee.
Yes.
Honestly, it's quite depressing, really, because these people are so powerful. This is all the VAR arguments, all the arguments in football really stem from...
Not just VAR, for all rules.
Everything stems from these people. That's such an important job, and they've got it so wrong. We all know they've got it wrong with offside. We all know they've got it wrong with handball. And it's amazing, isn't it? But it's these people. It's Gianni Infantino. Well, yeah. There you go. His right-hand man, Matthias Grafström. I mean, you just wonder, who are these people? Pierluigi...
I don't know.
Pierluigi...
Why am I expected to know them?
I don't know. Pierluigi Collina, who, you know... I don't know. He was a good ref, but he doesn't seem to have done much since then. Arsene Wenger, who seems to have gone mad since he left football and joined FIFA. Mark Bullingham, the FIFA chief executive. No, the FA chief executive.
Yeah, that's right.
And Ian Maxwell, a man called Ian.
Oh, yeah, he's not 21 either, is he?
No, he retired in 2009 as a career as a defender and was managing director at Partington. So at least he was a footballer.
No, but there's lots of people. There is a technical football committee made up of lots of ex-players. I think Daniel Amakachi's on it and people like that. So
how do they get it so wrong? It's amazing, isn't it?
I guess they don't get asked a lot. And I guess that, you know, if you're in that situation, what are you going to do?
But they must watch football every weekend and see these terrible... ridiculous offsides by a toenail.
Do you want them to stage an intervention?
Well, I want them to get it right.
Do you want Arsene Wenger to go charging into Kalina and Ellery's office and pin them to the ground?
I think I do.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll see if we can do that. And that's it. We're taking like a coup, a football coup from the people at the very top of the...
Good.
That's right. Going in there, sort of firing a revolver into the ceiling.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Andy, I don't know if you saw yesterday that Tiger Woods and his son Charlie are going to compete at the PNC Championship for the fourth straight year. And I was just beginning to wonder, if it was like a sport billy competition between famous families, who'd come out on top? I mean, you could get everybody together. I mean, in history, obviously you'd have the Charltons in there, but if you're talking about currently, the Beckhams v. the Woods... I don't know. I mean, it depends what sport they're playing, of course. It could be a bit like Superstars, a kind of family fortunes. That's how I'm going to pitch it, Andy. I'm going to pitch it. Family fortunes meet Superstars.
That's good.
Yeah. Can you see that?
Well, yeah, you can see anything.
They'd never do it, would they? We'd never get the money.
It's the insurance, isn't it, these days?
It would be the insurance, yeah. Okay, I'll put that on the back burner. Fair enough. Anything else? I tell you what, we did ask about Chris Heaven, didn't we? Chris Heaven.
Yeah, good, yeah.
Not Chris Heavens. From Virgin Radio, but this is Chris Heaven, the BA pilot.
Because he's very similar to Chris Evans, isn't he?
Chris Heaven.
Chris Evans.
Bob and Arbro says, each week different celebrities go round to hammer on Chris's front door and he has to guess who they are by asking them questions without opening the door. Yes, it's knocking on Heaven's door. Yeah, we'd all watch that, wouldn't we? Want some TV formats for him.
So, that sounds marvellous.
Yes, keep that coming. Chris Heaven and Joan Armour Trading visit the country's highest peaks and buildings where Joan throws Chris from on the top of them to see how quickly it's the bottom. That's a very limited format, Steve, in Mansfield. It's called Drop the Pilot, obviously, but there'd only be one episode. There we are. TV formats, maybe they're not as rich a seam as we thought for Chris Heaven.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Time to find out about a brand new sport. And even better news, Team GB have gone to Tokyo, and they have won this particular competition. It's called Spagomi, and here to tell us about it are two of the Team GB team, Sarah Parry and Alex Winship. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Congratulations. Oh,
congratulations. I think it's going to take some explaining, Sarah. So first, tell us how the sport works.
So it's a sport where you are given a kind of, you know which area you're going to be in. On the day, about 10 minutes before you set off, you're given a map, which is about 5 kilometres square metres. And within that area, you can pick up as much litter as you can within 45 minutes. You can walk fast, but you're not allowed any running, and it's teams of three, and you must all stay within 10 metres of each other. So you can pick up as many, as much litter as you can, and you get a certain number of bags, so you have to be quite strategic about what sort of litter you think is worth the most amount of points. And then when you've done your 45 minutes of collecting as much as you can, you come back to the area you started, and you sort it out into the correct recyclable components, and then it's all weighed, and different bags are worth different amount of points depending on the weight, and the team with the most points wins. There's even more rules than that, and there's different deductions you can get, and you have an umpire with you, all the teams and these sorts of things. So it's a bit technical, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Sounds like fishing, the way you weigh it up. The thing is, this was in Japan, excuse me. This was in Japan, and I've been to Japan a couple of times. It's pretty clean. Do they have to actually put the litter out for you to tidy up, or is there enough litter to collect?
No, so yeah, none of it's planted, but yeah, the streets are quite immaculate, so it was a real struggle trying to find the litter. But yeah, in the UK, it was a lot easier, but yeah, in Japan, we really did struggle, and we really had to really, really go looking for it and going looking down like alleyways, nooks and crannies, and under machines and things like that. So yeah, half the task was trying to find the litter, to be honest.
Yeah, so a lot of the litter ended up being between really tall buildings and really narrow gaps. So I would kind of squeeze between the buildings and fish out as much as I could because I was the smallest team member. And then Alex and Johnny, who are much taller and stronger, would then have to carry it back to the sorting area for us. So we kind of all worked together to find something.
This is the kind of logical conclusion of plogging, isn't it? We've talked about that jogging and picking up litter. So this is it in a kind of World Cup format, Alex. And so how did you find out about it? Is it the Japanese that came up with the idea to turn it into a sort of formal world tournament?
Yeah, so as a Japanese sport, I think we learned on Wednesday that it's actually been around since 2008, they do play it in Japan, and litter picking is much more common in Japan within organised teams. So I think they held this initiative that they wanted to get it to other countries, so that they came up with the idea of doing this World Cup. And we actually found out about it, the story gets stranger, because my brother lives in Brazil, and he is actually the Brazilian champion.
Really?
And so then he told us about it, and we entered in London, so we're the UK champions that have then gone on to all compete together in the World Cup and become the world champions.
Fantastic. It's will you go back and defend your title? Is it an annual thing, this?
So the next one is in 2025, and we've been invited back for that. So we're not too sure at the moment if we're coming back to compete or if it's coming back to be like a ambassadorial role. But yeah, so we've been invited back for 2025, but we're just not really sure under like what grounds at the moment. But yeah, so looking forward to that.
And finally, Sarah, you've run a lot of marathons before, but I read somewhere you said this was as tough as anything you've done. What made it so sort of grueling then?
I think, power walking is really hard when you're doing it fast and when you're doing it with a lot of weight on you as well. So, I think you can read, we collect over 50 kilograms of rubbish. So, at points you're 1.5 miles away. So you're having to power walk back, cover 1.5 miles at very quick pace with maybe you know, all carrying, you know, 10 kilos or something on your back, so just in plastic bags. So you're really exhausted. And, you know, it's got a lot of strategic tactics, and there's a lot of psychological pressure. You know, you have, there's points get deducted every minute that you're late, and you have to do your own timekeeping and these sorts of things. So there's a lot going on, and obviously you're weaving in and out of Shibuya Crossing in Tokyo, so you're trying to watch cars, you're trying to watch other pedestrians, you're wow. trying to, so it's exhausting.
Sounds like a computer game.
Yeah, well, look,
congratulations
amazing.
To you and Alex's brother, Jonathan, who's part of the trio, and well, it's great. We've not had a great summer sports-wise, so
yeah, it's good.
It's good to land gold.
I hope you'll be on Sports Personality of the Year.
That would be good. Yeah, we can go and clear up afterwards. Certainly, that true. Would be great. Yeah. Thanks very much, Sarah. Yeah, thanks, Alex.
Yeah. Give us a nomination for that.
Yeah. Cheers. Thank you.
Gianni Infantino's lobbying for the next championship to be in Saudi Arabia.
Of course. Yeah, he wants the next. He definitely wants the next Bogomi to be happening somewhere in the Middle East. He hasn't made his mind up yet. It depends.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
But we are joined now by Stan Collymore as we look ahead to the weekend's football. Good afternoon, Stan.
Evening, chaps. Afternoon, chaps. Are you ready for the big Hawksby Collymore Sunday Sunday afternoon clash, Paul?
It's not a fair fight, Stan.
I wouldn't mind playing you with a full squad, Stan. We'll see. But, I mean, the whole game's going to be played in basically a strip of carpet in the middle of the pitch, isn't it, really? Everything will be concentrated there. The battle of the high lines, it'll be interesting. So, let's have a couple of talking points today. One on Ivan Toney's and quite a few of the papers. Few suggestions that he'll probably he'll see out the rest of the season when he returns with Brentford. And he's obviously going to be in demand. I mean, it's probably a daft question, but I take it you're a fan of his work.
Massive fan. I mean, he and Mbeumo, I mean, they're not strictly a sort of partnership, but they play very well together. They're my two favourites in the Premier League. Every kind of 3 or 4 years, you have a new favourite player or favourite players. Players that take the eye and you go, yeah, I'd go and to pay and watch them. And Mbeumo and Toney, when they play really well together, I think are exceptional. They both like the ball into their feet. They both can twist and turn, move the ball off the line. They're both dynamic enough to run in behind. And funny enough, actually, because when I'm sort of chatting about some of the topics, and, you know, Gabriel Jesus saying goal scoring is not his strong point. If you look at Ivan Toney, He's getting a goal every 2.1 games currently. As a former striker, you're always told by other great strikers, the benchmark for excellence, we're talking about AAA Rosette standard, is better than a goal every other game. So he's just on that. So you can see why many clubs would look at him. As well as his goal scoring, his all-round play, I think he's excellent. And I think that he's got, in terms of a skill set that you want from a centre forward, he's got every single attribute, back to goal, over the top, moving into channels, appreciation of space, appreciation of his teammates as any striker in the Premier League.
He's also a leader when you watch him, the way he is with the other players, and you watch him live. It's clear.
He's a penalty guarantee as well, Stan. You factor that in set pieces, you know, you can't overstate that either.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously what he's going through, it'll be very, to put you inside of a mindset of a player that's had sort of injuries that keep you out for 6 to 8 weeks, or other players. And of course, I when I was at Aston Villa, I had a couple of months out really through mental health issues, which now, you know, you see players now that take that time to be able to deal with those kind of issues, is that it's very difficult. You go in and train every day, knowing that you're not going to play. And so you have to keep yourself motivated, your habits good, and your discipline's good. So it's going to be really interesting to see, Ivan Toney, what happens when he comes out of this, whether he's the sort of motivated, pent-up frustration, clubs put a bid in for him, he goes to another club and he gets his 25, 30 goals a season, or what the impact will be. I suggest, as Andy just said, he's a very big character, he's very much a leader. And I think he'll be just like a coiled spring at the moment, just cannot wait to get back out on the football pitch. So whoever gets him, whether he stays at Brentford or whether he moves on elsewhere, for me, watching strikers, that is my speciality amongst watching other players in other positions, of course. He has the lot, and he will bring a lot to any football team that he plays in.
Now, we're going to talk about Tony Woodcock, a former England
player. Legend.
Forest, of course, yeah, you'd love Tony. He was talking about the three-week winter break that Harry Kane will get.
Kind of forgotten about that.
Bayern Munich plan. Again, obviously something I hadn't really thought about. He felt when he was playing that really recharged his batteries. He thinks it will do Harry a lot of good. And it does make you wonder in these tournament years, and I know it's difficult with all the fixtures, it does make you wonder whether they could find a bit more room for another week off for players in those big years when they've got another summer of football?
The answer is obviously yes. I mean, I think that we're all advocates, or anybody watches a lot of football, of less football. And it's at a time when FIFA, UEFA are looking to cram more games in to satisfy the appetite of bigger clubs, more money. FIFA are looking at UEFA in particular and saying, you know, if we get the Club World Cup, which of course is going to be in Saudi Arabia, which Manchester City will be taking part in November, December, is that you're looking at an ever-increasing amount of games. That's without Nations League, et cetera, et cetera. The fact that the Germans can do it says yes, it means yes, we can, is the truth. The problem, the issue is partly cultural around Christmas football, seasonal football. It's when we all traditionally get out and watch lots of games. So there might be an issue pushing it back beyond Christmas, but not an impossibility. And it's going to be fascinating again. Harry Kane, let's not forget, is the A bracket kind of player, type of player that has been playing pretty much, you know, 10, 11 months of the year round for the best part of 10 years or more now. So you do get into very much a mindset that if you know that you're going to be playing, you know, Champions League football, all of your club friendlies, you're chasing national records, you're chasing international records, you're playing all the games possible over a season, that a three-week break for some players might be, oh, crikey, I'm not used to this. It's that classic dilemma of when you give teams the sort of extra week or so off, they haven't played Premier League games for whatever reason, sometimes they come back and they hit the ground running and you think, yes, they've obviously benefited from that break. And sometimes they can be a little bit leggy. And there will be as many players, chaps, that will tell you, I don't quite like the 3 weeks off. I would rather just have a quick week, get back into it, recharge the batteries that way. And it will be fascinating to see, particularly with Harry, in the second part of the season, where you'd imagine that he'll be chasing a Bundesliga title and maybe Champions League, that the Harry Kane that we see come Brazil and Belgium come March time, and then in the Euros, the first question I would be asking him, if England were to do very well in the Euros, how did that three-week break make a difference compared to all of those years in England? So I hope somebody asks the question at the end of the Euros, because it would be fascinating for players to hear.
Just a real quickly on Gabriel Jesus, who has said after Brazil this week that scoring goals is not necessarily his strongest suit. He said, I play to score a goal. That's why I'm in the national team. Scoring goals, again, will happen naturally. I mean, he's basically saying that he brings other things to the team. What did you make of that as a striker?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. From a statistic point of view, he's in there with Ollie Watkins. Gabriel Jesus, a goal every 2.7 games. Watkins, 2.6. Diogo Jota, a goal every 3 games, so better than him. Darwin Nunez, a goal every 3 games, so better than him. Marcus Rashford, a goal every 3.2 games, so better than him. So I think he's been a bit harsh on himself, save for the fact that some of those other names are probably better at creating chances, moving into spaces and helping other players. Could he polish it up and score more goals? Yes. I think that the biggest thing is, I looked at the statistics and Bukayo Saka's only played 50 Premier League games less than Jesus, despite being 5 or 6 years younger. Reason why that is because he didn't play the full requisite amount of games for Manchester City. Can he do better for Arsenal? Yes. Should he be greedier? Yes. But his goal-scoring record isn't too shabby at a goal every 2.7 games.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, we had a little piece today in the papers about the rise of the sports documentary. They're a hot property.
I think amongst people who don't like sports.
We went for a kind of fallow period for sports documentaries, but it's back with a vengeance, and there's lots of stuff on the streaming channels have made the difference. Anyway, why are we talking about this? We should bring the man that brings a sport on TV every week to join the conversation. It's squad number 9, King of Overnights, massive in Kuala Lumpur. It's Martin Kellner. Good afternoon.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mention that, because in advance of the Las Vegas Grand Prix last week on my hit Graveyard Shift show, we were discussing how there's, you know, because we know Formula One is not an indigenous American sport, or not an indigenous American format, if you like.
Yeah.
But because of the Netflix documentary Drive to Survive, which has been a massive hit, it's got a whole new audience in the USA for Formula One. And cashing in on that, I suppose, we've got Braun, the impossible Formula One story, which is currently streaming on the Disney Channel, who obviously, you know, had the hit with the Wrexham programme. So they know the value of a sports documentary, and there's loads of money behind this. It's, you know, it's a lavish production. It's got Keanu Reeves is presenting it.
Yes, he was on with Andy Goldstein and Darren Bent talking about it recently.
Was he?
Yeah.
You must feel a bit...
The acting work dried up. What's going on?
Well, I did ask yesterday. He didn't sound like he was the biggest of Formula One fans either, so it was quite an interesting choice.
He looks very much, you know, because he's got that straggly hair now, Keanu Reeves. Looks very much like a refugee from a Kiss tribute band.
Oh, right, okay.
A little bit like Ian Danter.
He'll have you when he sees you.
He's not going to be happy about that.
No, he knows I'm joking. But, yeah, it's a great story. I mean, if you are interested, even if you're not interested in Formula One, we know that the story of Formula One is the endless quest for more downforce, obviously. And Ross Brawn is the, I mean, obviously he's the eponymous hero of this. Ross Brawn developed this system. He was with Mercedes for quite a while.
Yeah.
It was Ferrari for quite some time. Mm. And they won 6 championships under Schumacher and all that. And he came up with this double diffuser. He went to Honda and came with this double diffuser. We get more grip, more downforce, you know, just what you wanted. It was very successful. But when the economic crash came, 2008, Honda decided they weren't going to put any more money into Formula One.
Mm.
So Ross Brawn found out that it was going to cost them $100 million to close it down. He said, well, you know, we'll do it. And it was a sort of management buyout. But it was, you know, they really... I mean, for instance, the drivers who were Jenson Button and Rubens Barrichello were told that they couldn't afford to crash. You know, take it easy. Wow. No, seriously, they were told they couldn't afford a crash. Which
that wing if you crash that car.
Yeah, it was very much like that. You know, we've only got fire, theft, and third party. We've not got
third party insurance.
Yeah,
that's
but
a great
I mean,
idea.
That, yeah. The story is just unbelievable. And when you look at, I mean, there's obviously a Formula One story at the moment, isn't there, with Christian Horner, who's on the show, and he's talking about how Ross Brawn is the smiling assassin. But there's a lot of that sort of quiet assassination going on in Formula One. I mean, for instance, there was one of the guys from, I think it might have been Ferrari, I can't remember, but when they were doing really well in the trials, this Ross Brawn team, they caught this guy under the car with, you know, it was a guy from Ferrari. He was under the car with a torch, and they shooed him away.
Yeah,
I mean, the Formula One story is phenomenal. I mean, people do love it, and they love all the you know, all the cloak and dagger stuff as well. And there's quite a bit of that in this.
I've
read a couple of things about it. Sorry, Martin. And people have been saying that it's quite sort of a quirky style that Keanu Reeves has. He's an interesting choice to do something like this. I mean, maybe they're all.
He's doing Test Match Special next year.
I don't know if you knew. But I mean, people have said, there were a couple of reviews I've said, once you get kind of into the style of the way he does it, it sort of works. What did you think?
It does work. Yeah, absolutely works. And I think the reason for that is, that, I mean, you know, when we saw sports documentaries years ago, you know, and it was things like, you know, the 50 greatest World Cup goals or whatever the heck it was, they were all very, you know, sports people. You'd see Des Lynam or whatever.
Yeah.
Those were the people in it. But now the whole thing, I don't know what this, I've not seen the article you've read, but the whole thing has gone up a level. Yeah. And to prove the, I mean, I'll give you the proof. I've been watching the Ronnie O'Sullivan documentary as well, the Ronnie O'Sullivan, The Edge of Everything. And there's sort of this choral music. All of a sudden it goes into choral music.
Right.
And you think, why are they doing that? And then you think, it's because they want to make it look classy.
Yeah.
They want to make it, you know, a lot of the tricks have been taken from, you know, proper directors, if you like. You know, you'll see, oh, there's a touch of Werner Herzog in there.
Absolutely. He was a good player. I saw him do a 147 break once on Werner.
I want to ask Martin this, though, that, you know, these documentaries, for me, they break down into two sort of distinct categories. There's the 30 for 30, which are journalistic inquiries, really, really interesting. And then you get the ones, I haven't seen the Beckham one, but it sounds so carefully controlled and manicured. And
yeah.
I can't be bothered with that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going out of fashion from the two or three that I've seen recently. And even the Rooney one, which had its had its terrestrial premiere. That's what they call it. Because I think I talked to, I'm sure I've seen this in the past. I watched it again. It was on straight after the football on Wednesday, whatever night the football was on, Monday night or whatever. And they had Rooney, and they were plugging it as the terrestrial debut of the documentary Rooney. And even that one is, you know, postmodern, put it that way. We get the, you know, I signaled this months ago, that now you've got to have the clapperboard shot. You've got to have the shot. And it's Gary Neville in this one, who he sits down on the chair in the room that they've hired to do the interview. He sits down in the chair. Right, should I start now? Do you want me to? You know, so that
very
they do
Louis
that.
Theroux.
Very, very Louis Theroux.
The Ronnie O'Sullivan one, Martin.
Yeah.
I mean, again, how's it work? What's the nature of it? I mean, he's quite a complex soul, old Ronnie. Oh. So, I mean, getting access and being able to sort of film what you like, imagine was quite difficult from a director's point of view, but I don't know.
Well, no, it's quite clever. I mean, Ronnie, as we know, is a riddle mixed with a mystery wrapped in an enigma. Mm. That is Ronnie O'Sullivan. So you sort of know what you're going to get. I would describe this as a bit of, there's quite a lot of psychobabble in it.
Right.
As you know, he, I want to say Jeff Peters, but it's not Jeff Peters, it's the other guy.
Steve Peters.
Steve Peters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jeff Peters.
Steve's written any sports psychology books.
The chimp paradox, isn't it?
Yeah, chimp paradox, yeah.
That's what he's famous for. Mm. So there's a lot of that, you know, a lot of the stuff that you... So we get Ronnie lying down on a bed to start with, and he's talking about, you know, everything he's gone through, et cetera, and how, in a way, I suppose, a lot of this started with Andre Agassi and his autobiography about how he didn't like tennis, and but he was sort of wedded to it, if you like. And it's the same with Ronnie. You know, snooker has been a cruel mistress, but he can't break free. I mean, if you look at his addictions, and obviously a lot of the program is about all that as well, he's addicted to snooker, if you like. And because this is the new sort of postmodern style of documentary, you get a bit of choral music, he's competing in in a tournament in Llandudno at the start of it. And you get a shot of the very sort of bleak Llandudno. I mean, Llandudno is very beautiful, yeah, but it's bleak but beautiful.
Don't do it, James, cleverly, Martin, will you?
No, I'll try not to. <It's>, no, that's a word I try and avoid it quite a lot.
Especially on national radio.
It's hard at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
So it starts with a shot of the Llandudno sort of seafront, the Great Orme going down to the seafront, and somebody on a mobility scooter. And I thought to myself, that's Llandudno. That the director had picked that. And then Ronnie says it himself. He says, there's nobody here. There's just old people here. Oh. And Llandudno, apart from my friend Steve Doherty, who lives in Llandudno, apart from that, there are it is, and they do this shot of the hotel, which is obviously like an old-fashioned hotel, continental, sort of grand hotel type thing. Huge dining room. And just Ronnie sitting there on his own, very atmospheric shot, you know, where you can hear the knives and forks, if there were any knives and forks, you could hear them sort of on the plate, and you speak in a whisper, and that's so. And they sometimes have Radio 2 playing in the background at a very low level.
But you'd recommend
it. Is Ted Lowe, really. He used to speak, do snooker in a whisper.
Ted Lowe would
I would recommend it. I'll tell you also what I would recommend is the Amal, if you know, especially if you've not got the streaming services, the Amal Rajan interview
with Ronnie.
With Ronnie. I love Amal Rajan. Mm. I do like him on University Challenge because he does the
questions.
So do I,
Martin, yeah.
Yeah, he does the questions twice as fast as Jeremy Paxman used to.
Yeah.
So you get two chances, you know, you get to answer a few more questions. But I do like him on that. But he's very good on this. And there's a bit at the end where Ronnie is talking about how, because the snooker authorities wanting to compete in all these tournaments in the UK, he doesn't get to go to China so much. Mm. And he says, they're not giving me respect. And my wife said to me, who was watching it with me, she said, what do they mean by it? What does he mean by respect? I said, you don't know about sport. Respect means money. If they say not enough respect, it's money.
Yeah,
ambition also means money. The club's got no ambition. Yeah. That means money.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She can translate now.
You're back tonight, Martin, I take it.
Back tonight.
1 a.m.
Gary Newbon on tonight.
Oh, have you really? You know, Gary's got a book out.
He's got a book out. Yeah, everybody's got a book out.
You've got a book out, I understand. What's it called again?
I try not to mention it. It's called Wrestling in Honey, and it's available from almost no good bookshops.
We'll hear from you later, Martin. Thanks very much.
Yeah,
Martin.
Cheers, boys.
There's Martin Kellner there. He's back at 1 a.m. through the night, overnight tonight and tomorrow with Extra Time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll be back on Monday with a slightly different show.
Yeah.
We are coming to you live from London's busy West End. We're on the Strand. And we're going to be bringing you a show from the Oki, big dart show building up to the draw for the championships. Ian Danter will be with us, but we'll have all your regulars. Danny Kelly will be there and lots more besides. So I do hope you can join us from one for the show. Until then, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.